Welcome to the Mac Show. No, this is actually the Big Show.
Awesome. Welcome to the Big Fuck Up.
Exactly. No, this is the Big Show. This is the show where we talk about all the big stories in tech. Usually I start with the Mac Show today, but Ewan is back. And yeah, so he will also
throw your whole cycle off.
Exactly. They completely throw me off. No, he will be back also on the Big Show. If you want to know more, just listen to the beginning of the Mac Show. Don't have to listen to the entire thing. Obviously you should, but it was hilarious. But anyway, I have a really cool panel with me today. Starting us off, top left, we have Atle. How are you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing good. Doing good. How's the weather in Canada right now?
I'm actually having a wonderful little respite from all of the insane heat and humidity. It's been in the late teens, mid 20s for the last few days. Mm-hmm. But starting tomorrow, it goes back up to mid 20s, mid to high 20s, which are going to feel like 30s, and I'm going to be miserable again. So well, I'm enjoying today as my last fun day. Yeah, exactly.
How's the construction going? I see it's not done yet.
No, it's not. No, it's not done yet. No, the interior construction is probably on hold until we finish the outside stuff, because we're trying to get all of the outside stuff done, and that's sort of where all of the time and money and effort is funneling into right now. Mm-hmm. So once that's done, then we will continue on the interior. Plus, now that things are starting to ease up with COVID, I'll be able to get inspectors in to look at the electrical and everything else so I can close up the walls. As you can see, sort of a wire right up here above me, behind me. That's coming down to add for a plug, and other wires will be run off of it as well. And those can't all be put in place until the inspectors approve them. So.
That sounds like still a lot of work.
It's a lot of coordination too. Work isn't the problem, it's the coordination waiting for everything to happen, especially with the pandemic happening and everybody going, yeah, I'm not going into any other buildings, which sense. I can totally understand.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Next to him, we have Howa. How are you doing? I haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah, I'm fine. Been busy again with work, but unlike Atle, it has been hot here. And fans been going on all day.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, but it's good. It's good. I can't complain because, you know, having warm weather is always lovely.
Oh, yeah. I absolutely enjoy it, too. It's always like I prefer it over winter, where it's gray and dark and like, cold and everything. So I'll take the heat. Next to him, we have the man with the many stories, as always. Alistair, how are you doing?
I'm okay. I'm a bit knackered today. All week, I took on a contract with a certain large company in the States who started off making web searches. And it's been quite intensive and an awful lot of work direct to camera, which I've not done before. So this doesn't really count. Podcasts, you tend to look around, don't you?
Yeah.
When I'm doing training, I tend to lean into the microphone and talk very quietly. You know, it can be quite fun normally, you know. I'd like to click and drag and, ooh, look what's popped up. But I can't do that anymore because straight to camera, they want you to use your hands. And when you use your hands, this happens. So there's loads of things. And if I move the microphone away, you can hear the echo in the room, which is a bit disappointing. So I've started hanging towels up and all sorts to try and dampen that. I've got to rethink this. So this weekend I'm going to reorganize and get some, you know, spiky foam bits and stick those up and try and dampen that. And then I've got to, the other thing I realize when you talk direct to camera on a kind of a YouTube live event, you can't look at your notes because you end up doing that instead of
so
that.
True, yeah.
So I've got to learn it by heart. Not had to do that before. What I need is a teleprompter, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't have one of those.
Use your iPad.
Well, no, because I need to look in the camera, not on the iPad, because I'd be doing that.
There are some tricks.
I need a. Yeah. So anyway, I've had that constantly, and it's you're talking about having meetings all day. It was exactly that. You would have kind of mini training, mini tests, trying something out, then back another bit of training and test, and then later on they say, right, can we do a trial? Here you go, trial of what? I've not even read what I'm supposed to be teaching yet. I've just spent all the time in meetings, and so have you. So, but we'll get there. Thank God for the weekend, eh? That's when you can get work done.
Yeah, exactly. That's so true. Next sim. Did it just get hot in here or was it just me? Next sim, we have the man in Boulder, Jeff Gamet. How's the zoo doing?
The zoo's doing all right, but it is currently 33 degrees.
Mm, okay.
Yay. Hot. Same here.
I'm already in the mode of not saying Fahrenheit anymore.
Very good.
Or using Fahrenheit.
Very good.
So I feel so international. But all the animals, because
how many pounds is that?
It's what, like 88 stone? Yeah. Anyhow, there's no clouds and we're at a high enough altitude that the hotter it gets, the more it's like you're just getting scorched. Mm-hmm. So all the wildlife is being smart and hiding in places out of the sun.
Mm-hmm. Like dumpsters and so on.
Dumpsters, yes.
Instead dark places. Last, but by absolutely no means least, we have someone we haven't had on in a while, and I'm very excited about. Chris Ashley,
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing today?
I'm doing awesome as always.
Yes, sorry I missed out on last. I've been doing a lot of work around the house, and I decided that now was the time to redo my office. So I had to get rid of all the Redskins stuff that was in here, and actually just kept like the stuff that was more personal to me, and mm-hmm. I just put that on this wall over here. And then everything else, I don't know. As I'm getting older, I just got tired of the darker colors, mm-hmm. and I wanted to brighten up the office. So I painted it, this Washingtonian white, I think it's called. And I did work here in the hallway, and my wife was like, I want a hall bench. And I was like, whatever, what's a hall bench? Never even heard of it. And I ended up building her one. So, nice. Been on it. So just, we got to find different ways to stay active and mm-hmm. keep your mind going since we're all sitting at home doing nothing. So, it's been fun. So,
I mean,
doing these little things.
Exactly. Like, especially since like we're all staying at home and like kind of feels like everything is stuck, like a little bit of change, like in your office or environment makes a big difference.
All
like,
the difference in the world.
Yeah.
So awesome. I actually come in here now and chill out and stare at the screen and be like, I actually like being in my office again. So
nice.
It's pretty cool.
That is awesome. That's really important, especially since we're spending a lot of time in the office anyway, staring at screens. All right. Who's got the first story for today? Oh, yeah, Atlee is like fast fingers. He wanted to get his story out, and he was like, yay. So
I was worried somebody else would have this one because it's a fairly timely story.
So talk us through it. It's about encryption.
So apparently the U.S. Senate is trying to push through a new bill called the Lawful Access to Encrypted Data Act. And what this is basically they want to force any software developer or device manufacturer to have to put backdoors into their system to allow access to law enforcement. And they also want to basically, for all intents and purposes, make end-to-end encryption unlawful. Mm-hmm. Now, the problem with that is that by forcing backdoors into systems, that just opens. There's enough holes in software. There's enough places where hackers are able to play around and get in and other things. I mean, companies are spending millions of dollars in testing and efforts to try and close up the backdoors that are invariably created when software is developed by large groups of people and huge pieces of software. So what they're saying is, let's put this, every device manufacturer, every company needs to put this wedge in their software. That means that they want to weigh into your WhatsApp, they want to weigh into your Facebook Messenger, they want to weigh into your Windows, they want to weigh into, they want to be able to have a way into locked or password protected files mm-hmm. that are zipped. They want to be able to get into your iPhone, your Android phone, any device or any piece of software that you use mm-hmm. that you count on for being protected. Mm. Now, the thing is that if this happens, there's already enough hard off-brand and off-the-radar devices that are locked down that people that do illegal stuff are using. The only this is going to catch at the best some low-level criminals. Mm-hmm. At the best.
Yeah.
At the worst, it's just going to open up holes in everything that we do and make the fact that we want some privacy. I mean, these companies handle privacy and data security badly enough when they're trying to.
Yeah, exactly.
When they're trying to protect us. So my worry is that this is going to have horrible ramifications. I think that realistically what would end up happening if this went to become law, you'd find companies would actually move all their head operations out of the US so they could create encrypted software and then just put backdoors in the versions that run on US soil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because no other country would want this.
Every other country wants it.
There are other countries that want that. Other countries that kind of have tried to get that, at least, like China.
but nobody else, actually wants this. The thing is, when it comes right down to it, we can't trust the government without our data either. They're not doing any better job protecting our data than any other company is.
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing is, we talked about it like last couple of weeks. There was like a whole network of a separate phone network that some criminals created with like their own phones and everything. So they're going to do that instead of using like a device.
This is not going to catch the criminals that they're trying to tell us like the criminals that they're trying to scare us with. Mm-hmm. Are not using Windows or Macs to do their stuff. They're running it on Linux, which is open source, and good luck trying to force open source to put backdoors in for you, because they'll just be like, no.
it would be hard anyway, because, I mean, it is scrutinized, so people are going to see it and see through it. It makes no sense. I mean, there are even, I know, security experts and people working for like NSA and CIA and that level of agencies who are saying there's no point. This shouldn't happen, because any backdoor that would be created, like even though some politicians might have the idea that, oh, we can create a backdoor that only we can use. No, that's not how it works. If there's a backdoor, then someone else will use
anyone.
I mean, as you said, we see it. We see it with companies trying.
Yeah, just look what happened to Twitter.
Exactly.
They used their own admin tool, got into it, and
that's my story for today. So, exactly.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah.
Good thing I have a backup story.
Okay, good. Because, exactly. I mean, that's exactly the problem. Like, they're trying to protect everything. They're trying to make everything secure and encrypted, and people still get in. I mean, all those iPhones were, the FBI was, oh, we need Apple's help. They got in. There's so many flaws and so many issues, despite the fact that Apple and every other company is spending a lot of money trying to fix them and patch them and not have them out there. Like every new version, basically the second a developer touches a new version of an operating system, there's the potential that they introduce a new flaw that someone can use.
And the thing that's so annoying about this effort and these requests is that, I have to believe that many of these senators and congresspeople trying to put this through understand that, but yet they'll still go forward and try to put these plans together to get this foolishness in place. It's really frustrating, because they know they're putting people's information at risk, and yet they're still willing to go that route and try to get these useless things in place.
Well, no, I'm not 100% sure I agree with you there, because if one thing that the Senate has proven is that they're perfectly willing to try and legislate things they have no idea about.
Yeah,
100%.
All of them have advisors.
Technology and things. Yeah, but their advisors are paid to tell them whatever they want that proves their case to get there, whatever their bill passes. I mean, their advisors are there to prove help them prove the point, to help them get the
goal. I don't disagree with you.
Oh, it gets worse. A lot of laws actually not even written by the people who
They're written by their their benefactors and their donors.
A lobby
correct.
Group will write a lot of the bills.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of these guys will have, you know, especially some of the ones that are, you know, work in the military, on the, I forgot what they call agencies and stuff like that. And I don't know. I just kind of find it hard to believe, especially when you hear people say, hey, listen, the people that actually oppose these type of bills, and they actually tell them, like, listen, you're opening a back door for everyone, not just, and they're just like, law enforcement needs it. And unfortunately, with all the recent, you know, rallies and the backlash, you know, there's going to be an opposite push too, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to have, you know, ultra conservative folks and people who don't mind the authoritarian nature to push back and say, you know, no, we need to give law enforcement more rights and more capabilities and more effort. And so, you know, this could, before, like 2 years ago, I'd be like, nah, no way. But I don't have that confidence right now with something like this.
Yeah,
and this is just another case of the of government agencies trying to use fear to slowly chip away at your ability to have privacy and to have freedom to do what you want.
Yeah, I mean, to make their job easier. I mean, that's the thing. Yeah. Ultimately, it's a balance. I mean, we have those agencies for a reason. I mean, they're not there just because, like, for shits and giggles, basically. They have a job, and they have they have an important job to some extent. You could discuss how far it goes and whether it's too far and all that, but they have a job that we, like, as people, as voters, gave them. And it's a balance. Like, I mean, we want them to find the bad guys, and we want them to prevent stuff and all of that, and that requires them to, like, get access to information. So I think that's okay. It's just a matter of how far are we okay with, and what is too far. And I think this is too far, and I think everybody who knows something about it is agreeing with it and saying, okay, this is too much.
Tell all these agencies that now that they have this easy backdoor access to everybody's information, they don't no longer need the funding that they got for helping, you know, crack these cases and everything else. All that money has to go to schools.
Yeah, no, that's not going to happen.
No, then they'll change their mind.
Yeah, no, that's not going to happen.
Well, yeah, and they'll be like, wait, you're going to take half of our budget? No.
Well,
we took half your work away. You
don't
now
need that other half of
Genius
budget.
Bar.
No, actually, we need more budget.
They're need that budget because they'll have even more cases that they're investigating because they can get access to everyone's data.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have
and
more data.
And we can't understate the point that Atlee made in the beginning of this, right? Is the people that are actually going to be affected are not the people that they need to be concerned with.
Mm-hmm. They're not the people that they're using to scare this thing through Congress.
Yeah.
They're not, I mean, it's not those criminals. Those criminals are, this is going to catch, you know what this will do? This will catch a couple of corner boys selling drugs. This will catch a few people running some low-level racket of some sort. Mm-hmm.
And even those
things.
Cats are smart enough to know that everything is monitored, right? Yep. They're, you know,
well, not everybody. They're probably people who are dumb enough to not realize that.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, but most of those work for corporations.
True.
Or an education.
I'm sorry. Yeah, exactly. Well, no, I was just thinking of what's that agency that keeps everybody's credit scores? Equifax.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry. The Equifax and other things that have happened in the last couple of years don't make me confident that an extra way into anything is really a good order for even, like, I don't know if I even want to trust Microsoft with having a backdoor into their own software.
Mm-hmm. Nobody should be trusted.
Nope. Like nobody. Like Microsoft, Apple, Twitter, anybody. I mean, not only is it someone builds it, someone's going to crack into it. That's just a given. I mean, hell,
this kills
someone builds it,
encryption.
Yeah.
Which means every credit
card
transaction is not secure.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's right. If you can get into it, there's a potential that you could even change it.
Well, like, basically what we need to do is show them that if this happens, then guess what? You can no longer pay for anything on your phone. Mm-hmm. You can no longer do payments on the internet. Amazon's gone because you can't pay anything there. Because the credit card companies will be just opened up to scams left and right.
Yeah.
Because I would give, if there were backdoors into it and they announced, hey, now this law is passed within X date of blah, blah, blah. And they said it'll probably be like June 1st or January 1st or some weird date that coincides with some calendar reason for something. Mm-hmm. And then I would give it a week after that software is released before it's actually accessible by someone. And that's being generous in that they did a great job of protecting it.
That is
a
super
week.
Generous.
I would say a maximum of a week.
Yeah. That is already super generous.
Mm. Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. I'm being super generous on the skill of all of these companies to build a secure back door. Hell, they can't build a secure front door.
Yeah.
It's been proven constantly.
It is. Right? True.
And it's just, I mean, you have to phrase it that like, yeah, you're not going to stop the criminals you want. And now you're going to kill the ability for online purchase without, or what's going to be next. How are the credit card companies going to handle the amount of fraud that's going to be possible after this happens? Because think about it. Not only does your device will have a backdoor, which means there'll be some sort of physical thing that someone will build. Think about the NFC hacks that are available to get someone's credit card to automatically swipe for a credit card. And that's a dumb device. Think about what they're going to be able to do with phones and then the operating system on the phone having its own backdoor, because there'll be the backdoor into the device for any encryption that's built into the device. Then there'll be a backdoor into the operating system on the device. So that's your laptop, your phone, your computer. There's at least two backdoors there.
Yeah. No, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, some people are probably going to say, oh, but we're going to create two tiers of, like, there will be secure encryption and unsecure encryption. But that doesn't work.
There's no such
exactly.
Right. Well, and that's the thing, is if there's secure and unsecure encryption,
then people are
just
going
to want access to the secure encryption.
Exactly.
They're going to break that down.
Exactly. So it's kind of, it doesn't work.
And I'm thinking who have all the companies that are going to be making a lot of money out of this, because they'll be trying to sell stuff to consumers saying, hey, you know, we can protect you. And it's you can't. It's like false hope.
Yeah, exactly.
All I can say is that I would imagine that there is a run on equipment to start brute force attacks in Russia right now.
People are training
on brute force attacks. No, I know, but I'm sure that they're ramping up the training. We need more people because there's going to be a lot more devices accessible soon. Because it's all it's going to take is the right brute force attack, and they'll find the hole.
Yep. I mean, between that and the social engineering aspect of how,
because
a lot of these hacks are not just, oh, we left a port open on this server, or, you know, or we were, you know, sitting in a room drinking sodas and eating coffee cakes and we finally cracked. No, they just call somebody who's like, oh, I'm your IT person and I need your password so I can, you know, update your computer. Boom. They got in. You know what I mean?
Or the scam is going to be, this is a government, this is the FBI, or this is so-and-so agency. We have reason to suspect that you've been part of a criminal activity. Please blah, blah, blah this thing so that we can verify that you are not part of this X organization.
Yeah.
And that'll get clicked 1,000 times. I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pure silliness. Yeah. Hopefully there'll be enough backlash and the fact that at least the house for now is controlled by some more liberal thinking folks that something like this will not go through.
My worry is, can it be passed in the Senate? The Senate's the one that passes the laws.
Well, it has to be passed. It has to go through both.
Can it not go through the Senate and then be ratified by the president without it have to hit two of the three?
To go through all three. The only thing that can happen is both the House and the Senate can pass it overwhelmingly. The president can veto it, but then they can go over top of him. They can override him if they have enough votes.
They can't pass it through the back door then.
No.
They should build one in then, shouldn't they?
What they really need to do is they say, that's great, we'll build a back door into the private citizens' devices, but you also then have to give full access to public to your devices to the public because you work for them. So we want to see everything you're doing, all your emails, all your text messages, all your phone calls, everything. I mean, that would never happen, but none of them would be in office for very long.
I think there have been some movies about that.
And to be fair, we should also point out that the larger tech companies, Microsoft, Apple, they've always been on the right side of this issue with encryption and protecting user data. So even if they attempted to do this from a lobbying aspect, I'm sure they would spend money to lobby against it, but also just from a, you know, a court and a aspect and a legal aspect of it, I would be willing to bet that they would fight this tooth and nail.
Yeah.
Well, they've already had to fight it at least one other time. This is just, this is just another swipe at that can.
That has happened a couple of times. I mean, the original law that even allowed all of this is, I think, from the 90s. This has been discussed a couple of times.
Okay. Who is the next? And Apple's shown it's willing to go all the way to the Supreme Court and spend more money than any of us can imagine to fight this sort of thing.
Yeah, they've already shown that. Who has the next story?
Let's
something
see. In. Yes. Not on a much lighter note.
I don't know how much lighter that is, but okay.
Well, compared to what we just discussed.
I just found this really interesting. It's coming from Australia. It's an old story, but it popped up. they were using AI to help separating couples, which I thought was quite interesting because the main thing was it is for relatively amicable couples that are separating. So not if you're, because my immediate reaction was, oh my goodness, this sounds bad. Especially if you're not getting on. But so I was just wondering, how many more of these are we going to see where AI is actually sorting out disputes in other areas as well?
This is a place where having a backdoor into the system would be great, because then you could rig the AI to give the result
support
that you
want.
I'm wondering is, with acrimonious divorces, how long till this turns into a Tay situation? Where you end up with the AI just swearing at the people.
Yeah.
Shut the F up. He's talking.
He'll be popping up saying, don't start.
Yeah.
don't you two start with me today.
Don't start that again.
Not again.
It's funny.
So I was just going to say, because their whole idea is just trying to help reduce legal fees. So for people who can't afford it or just don't want to go through the fee system. And also I was thinking it might actually cut out the time that it takes to resolve a lot of these things.
People have shown a track record of implicitly trusting information from technology. So having an AI tell someone the exact same thing that a counselor or an arbitrator would tell them, they're probably more likely to follow along simply because it's a machine telling them, and hey, a machine can't be wrong.
Yeah,
it'd be really funny to find out that there's just a counselor on the other side of the wall that's actually listening and typing it through, and it's just coming through on speed text to speech.
That would be funny.
Probably an intern.
An intern.
Yeah.
Just high school students on a part time.
Tom is saying in the chat room that it's an application for AI that he never thought of. I think I have to agree with that. Like, I never thought that was like something.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I guess ultimately we should get used to it, though. They're not backing away from this AI stuff. They want to inject it everywhere they can. I guess it saves them money too,
and there are definitely quite a few areas where AI is better. Like, I mean, I'm thinking about the medical field. There are some things, like some research into using AI to detect certain things in like X-rays, for example, where like the AIs have proven to be much better at detecting cancer, for example, than humans are much earlier.
Yeah, but that's real AI.
That's real artificial intelligence.
That's just taking massive amounts. This is big data. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what they were always saying was, true AI requires big data. And it's only in recent years big data's become a reality. Yeah, before that, it was just... It's just playground stuff, such as separating couples. And I put a link in there, which is a company called fact360.co. And they reckon they've got an AI that will look at your emails and tell you whether you're shit at work or not.
I can do that too.
Oh, I can
I'll
do
just,
that.
I'll just look at your account and then just tell you that you're shit. Like, that's very easy.
Yeah, and it says it doesn't read the emails. Okay, talk me through that one.
How does it work?
Yeah, then how would it do that?
No, it's very easy. It just always tells you it's shit. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yes, I'm with you now.
It's super easy. All right. Maybe I'll... Jeff's story. There we go. I was about to put in mine. You beat me to it. No,
you
go
know,
ahead.
Patrice, if you want go to ahead. Go first.
Go ahead. You're first, so you go.
All right. So the EU is now looking into whether or not the companies with the big name voice assistants, so that would be A Lady, S Lady, and G Lady, if the fact that they have these voice assistant systems allows them to harvest data and then use it in a way to shore up their position as a monopoly and then force other players out of the market. And I find this interesting because I mean, sure, there is, of course, a lot of data harvesting happening, but like if you look at what sort of data harvesting is happening with the S Lady, actually, you probably shouldn't include Apple in this investigation because, first, it's not the top. That's that A Lady and is the top, then you have G Lady and then S Lady after that, and the way Apple has set up the S Lady, they're not actually harvesting data in the way that the other players might be. In the case of Google, most likely is, but I do find it interesting that now we're at a place where the EU is actually concerned about having voice assistants being used as a tool to generate monopolies.
Mm-hmm. The interesting part about that is, first off, as much as I'd like to be annoyed that the government agency is just digging into these things, I give the EU, I always give the EU props because I believe that they have the best intention, which is the end user. Mm-hmm. At mind, and so if they have to dig in and get these folks to reevaluate how this stuff is doing, then more power to them. And they've been very effective. In the past, I've criticized them because it seems like they are a bit more unfair towards American companies. But at the end of the day, you know, with it seems like they pass the regulations. They really want to protect user data. Mm-hmm. But it would be quite interesting if you saw internet companies have to act like how they did the cable companies here in the States, where they're like, you got a monopoly. So you have to open up your lines where other companies can use mm-hmm. your lines. So imagine how they force these companies to open up the data they've harvested so smaller companies can leverage the data they harvested to provide other services. That would be super mm-hmm. interesting. If it turns out to be the case. Mm-hmm. But the mm-hmm. other part that I find interesting is it's kind of weird, right? Because I guess if you're putting yourself in a monopoly position, you'd have to have, I would assume, some kind of collusion between these big companies of how they're getting the data and using the data to kind of ice out the smaller companies. But that doesn't really seem like they would do that as the data is the goal. Collude. Go ahead. I'm interested.
Okay, so instead of colluding over the data itself, mm-hmm. they collude with device makers. Mm-hmm. And so you get, you use the data that you're harvesting so that you can now leverage with device makers. And then you get the people or companies that are making the most popular devices to drop support for the competing voice assistants. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Okay, yeah, from that avenue, that makes sense, yeah.
Yeah.
They could then isolate new startups and or put some kind of gate in front of them to being successful. So, yeah, very interesting.
Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, the big question is how is that different than, basically Google? I mean, also Bing to some extent and some other search engines, but especially Google. because I'm pretty sure, like, with all the search results and all the data that Google is getting through that, they probably know most of it. And Amazon as well. Like, if you just look at, right, like, what people are searching in devices, like, I mean, mm-hmm, Amazon probably has a lot of information about the IoT market just based on that. So I'm not sure how, like, how voice assistants tie into that, but I can definitely see them as, like, a data source.
You know, from that perspective, I could see where A Lady and G Lady are potential big players, mm-hmm, in that data harvesting. Mm-hmm. Because you're right, Amazon and Google, they are collecting insane amounts of data on users so that they can then leverage that to make, mm-hmm, money. And if you have a voice assistant that's feeding additional information, mm-hmm, into that, well, there you go. That's just another avenue.
Yeah.
And probably more context on the information people are searching for as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which, yeah, makes it more relevant, which makes it more valuable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And I mean, I would include Apple in that as well. I mean, they're saying they're protecting users' privacy, but they also have a lot of data available. I mean, just like the type of apps Apple people are using, how much they're using them, and then obviously the assistant. So, like, they have some power as well. It's not that they...
Oh, sure.
All the information they get from stores, like what people like look for and buy and all of that, I'm pretty sure that could be leveraged as well. So it's definitely something to look at.
Yep. One place that a lot of people don't think about when it comes to data harvesting, mm-hmm, what about your support forums?
Mm-hmm.
Where, true, people are talking about what they're doing and, yeah, the other products they're using, why they're doing certain things.
Mm-hmm.
True. That's a lot of invaluable information.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. Yeah. Even, you know, even from, you know, professionally, when I have these, you know, conversations with customers that use the software that I manage, mm-hmm, and just understanding what they're trying to do. So not just, okay, I have a request to do something new, but I want to understand why you're trying to do that. What is the ultimate goal? So you, mm-hmm, could definitely garner that information from support cases and then be able to, yeah, then tighten up your products and your future projections.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And from that perspective, I mean, like Chris said, like I'm also a little bit like skeptical when it comes to the EU. They have done some good things and they've shown that sometimes they're like thinking about customers and about end users. But I've also sometimes you've seen like political things happening where it's more about, yeah, they're standing in the world and like showing off than really, right, doing something. So it's always a little bit like to be watched, I would say. But I think it's a good idea to at least look into it and say, I mean, is there something to it? Because data is kind of like a currency in our world. And with a lot of data, you can do a lot of cool things. But also, like if you don't have access to that data, it's harder for like a smaller startup or a smaller company or like even a big company that is entering a completely new market because their existing market is maybe becoming irrelevant. It is harder for them to enter that if you don't have the data for that. I mean, just one example, AI is super, super difficult if you don't have access to a good data set. So any company who wants to be in the AI market has to get that somewhere, either buy it or find it or build it up themselves. And that can be hard if you're competing against Google, Microsoft, Apple, like all the big companies, big tech companies, I should say.
Yeah, and it's important to note that harvesting the data and using the data in and of itself is not a problem in most cases.
Mm-hmm.
Where the problem comes in is when you harvest that data and then use that data to intentionally block other companies from getting into the market.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, with great power comes great responsibility. So sure, even if all of these companies are using the data in ethical ways,
mm-hmm,
then they should still be scrutinized,
mm-hmm,
to make sure that they don't stop using what they're collecting in ethical, right, ways.
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, the big
Tom said in the chat room to that, Monopolies are not illegal. Monopolistic behavior is, and that is absolutely true.
That was a much more concise way of saying what I was saying.
Yeah, and he also said that we should have a look at the ISPs because they have basically access to everything we use, like compared to even
they
Google.
They annoy me so much.
Like even Google doesn't have everything. I mean, they have most of it, probably access to most of it, but they don't have everything, but our ISPs kind of do.
And I'm starting to notice like more public internet, like or if you go you know, somewhere and you jump on a public internet, sometimes they block VPN. So when I see that, I won't use their service because I'm like, you're trying to track everywhere. Like, so I'm going everything I'm searching for. I'm not with it at all.
And I won't they're trying to pay for it by using your information to sell.
Exactly.
Well, I think the big issue with like, if you look at the different assistants, they have got so much data that they've now been able to glean over the last several years that to bring a new assistant into the space, the machine learning is going to be so far behind that how is a new assistant going to ever compete?
You may have to find some kind of angle.
I mean, the simple answer to that is it has to be better at understanding humans and giving better answers. And
it just needs a better name.
maybe that's all it needs.
It's the only reason Alexa's ahead of everyone else. He's got a name.
Well, the S1 is a name. I used to have a friend in school that had that name.
Yeah, other than Google, I think all of them had names. Not always good ones, but they had names.
Yeah, but Amazon has done a great job of making talking to the A lady feel much more natural and human than the competitors. I mean, for example, it doesn't feel natural to say, hey, S lady, every time I want to invoke a command, because it's not like every time I start a conversation, I say, hey, Patrice.
Hey, Jeff. Hey, Jeff. All right. Since we already kind of talked about it, I just wanted to throw in the Twitter story. I think it was one of the biggest stories this week. Twitter got hacked, or social engineered, to be more precise, from what it looks like. We already kind of touched on that. So what happened was someone gained access to one of the internal tools at Twitter. At least that's what people from the outside are saying. Twitter is not confirming that at all currently. But based on like screenshots that were posted and so on, it looks like someone got access to the internal tool and was able to reset email addresses and basically take over accounts. And they didn't just take any accounts, they took a lot of really high visibility accounts, like Apple's account, for example, that never even ever tweeted before, at Apple, never sent a tweet before. They got like a lot of verified celebrities and other people. And what they did was kind of lame, I want to almost say. Like, they could have done so much more damage, but they literally just posted a Bitcoin scam. Basically saying, hey, if you sent me, I'm doing a giveaway. If you sent me whatever, one Bitcoin, then I'm going to send you back two. Kind of. That was the story. Obviously,
that's what Bitcoin is, isn't it?
Not really.
That's Bitcoin in a sentence. Then.
Yeah. And
give me one, I'll give you back two.
Yeah. And the return, I mean, most people apparently clocked it as a scam pretty quickly. Or even Twitter also took it down relatively fast. But it was up long enough that about, 118,000 in Bitcoins were transferred, which is not that much, to be honest. For a scam like this, this is kind of nothing. Usually it can go into the millions and more. So it was kind of very low. But it could have been so much worse. I mean, they could have posted anything. Like, they could have targeted whatever.
They could have started World War III.
They could have. Yeah, they could have. They could have taken over the American president's, I want to say his name, but like his account. Apparently that one is has special protections because it wasn't affected. But they, I mean,
how many thousands of Bitcoins were transferred?
I have to look that up.
It's about three, isn't it?
No, but it was a low number, like 60, 70, I mean 118,000 is not that much. That should be like less than 100.
$118,000 worth.
$118,000 worth. So it should be less than 100 about, or maybe.
I thought you said 118,000 Bitcoins were transferred. I was
like, oh my God, that's millions. No.
Yeah.
That's like 13 Bitcoins. 13 Bitcoins. Yeah.
Oh yeah, good. That's a good point. I'm going to call him 45. That's a good idea. Yeah, so as I said, his account was
Sorry, since you said that, he's now 12 Bitcoin.
Okay. anyway,
10, 9, 8,
no. Yeah, anyway, it could have been much worse. They could have like posted stuff on especially in the US with like the election stuff going on. They could have posted stuff there. They could have done so much more damage, taking over accounts and so on. All they did was post this kind of lame Bitcoin scam. I mean, it was still a very high, high visibility thing, and a lot of people talked about it. Twitter is definitely not happy, and nobody's happy with Twitter either.
I think it honestly seems much more like one of those brag hacks.
Mm-hmm.
Most where you hack something just so that you can go, I did it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I did this. This was someone who is looking for attention from other hackers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To say, which happens. Oh yeah. It's a very, 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 what have you done to anybody lately kind of committee.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're going to see a lot more of this when the furlough schemes end and they start throwing a whole load more IT staff into unemployment.
Mm-hmm.
And people are going to go and take the tools with them. Why shouldn't they? And they'll feel pissed off and they'll want to do this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The one takeaway that we had is it does seem as if, on the grand scheme of things, that this was a low value hack. I mean, the profile was high, but what they got out of it was so much lower than what is. So is it possible that this was the distraction? Maybe they wanted the DMs of these prominent figures.
That
right?
is the question. Yeah.
So that's a discussion that we had, mm-hmm. you know, cause you, I mean, I would hope that Obama and, you know, is smart enough not to be conducting, you know, high level deals inside his Twitter DMs.
Yeah.
But you never know, right? Maybe something's initiated from a DM and, you know, kind of helps with the trail. But the other part of that is it's kind of depressing because you think that we're doing a good job educating our family members.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're all often the IT support for our friends and family. And we think we're doing a good job of telling folks like, stop believing this nonsense, 2-for-1, you know, free this, free that.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, they still were able to use the same old tactics, the same old messaging, and still make money off of this hack. It's depressing because we just got to step our game up. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous.
Well, and the interesting thing is, they made money off of this because they did have to bribe someone inside Twitter. So hopefully they made more money than they paid in the bribe.
I would guess so, but you never know.
Well, like Chris said, it does definitely look like that wasn't the target. For the amount of effort and thought that went into getting the access, zero thought went into the Nigerian prince level scheme.
That's true.
that they threw up on social media.
Yeah.
Like I said, that's where it comes up like braggadocious. Like, look at, I can do all of this, but look at, I just gave it to them because I don't care. It does definitely say that. Speak to the fact that we don't know what other information they were able to get, and what other things they were able to use. Was the target actually to get access to certain accounts and use that as a second factor to break into other things versus like Twitter's the lemming over here that sort of, you know, shines brightly and people are like, oh, looking at Twitter. And meanwhile, these people are over here doing stuff with real information.
Yeah.
So if you look at the people they targeted people that were, leaders in industry, leaders in government, leaders in different things. They didn't target celebrities, so they weren't looking for nudes off of people's phones.
They did take over some celebrities.
Yeah, but I mean, to the point where I think that they were just trying to get the flash.
It was just accident, yeah.
It was the flash. Hey, oh, well, if we can get that person's, let's grab that one.
Mm.
there was enough focus when you looked at the list of names, enough of them were more business government oriented mm-hmm. versus the celebrities True. And the, you know, the high traffic names. For me to think that, for me to not agree with Chris, that this is definitely looks like it probably was, you know, the red herring of what the actual intent was.
Mm-hmm. It's possible.
And plus they used some of the other accounts to help lend credibility to what they were doing, right? Because mm-hmm. They would have the Elon Musk and he's like, hey, me and my buddy Joe Biden are, you know, feeling generous today and mm-hmm. stuff like that. Yeah. So, but still, it just seems too easy, right? It's like, yeah. oh, we got these accounts, we made, you know, some money and we're done. And it's like, man, yeah. there's so much more value there, but you never know, because not all hackers are, you know, out to destroy the world. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, no, not all hackers are the smartest either. Like sometimes, yeah, unfortunately, it's also people that might have just accidentally gotten access to something that they shouldn't have and just used it.
There's an awful lot of bored teenagers right now.
Yeah, so there is a possibility for that. I agree. I think it's more the bragging rights thing. But like we don't know, and the question is, will we ever know? Like it might come out, and we might see something else happening, or it might never come out.
I'm just really hoping that it's not some much more important information that ends up coming out at the wrong time. I mean, the Americans have a big election coming up.
Yep.
There's a lot of things going on the worldscape right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It definitely was the wrong year for that.
Yes. Or depending on your perspective, the right year.
Yeah. The perfect timing for it.
Could also be.
Now, I did find it crazy how many verified accounts were freaking out because they couldn't post. Mm-hmm. So they were setting up unverified accounts so that they could post.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize what was going on at first. I just tried to do a basic post. You know, it's like, hey, I made some banana bread.
How thirsty are these people for attention?
Yeah.
Yes.
Very.
Yeah.
Like, all the verified accounts have been shut down for 12 hours. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand a tiny little bit. For some people, it is their business or it's part of their business. Like, it's part of the marketing. But I mean, honestly, 12 hours, like, for something not to work, it's not going to kill you.
We've had blackouts that were longer.
Yeah, exactly.
So. Yeah. And people were able to survive for 12 hours without hearing about me making banana bread.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, I was very excited about it, but
I did post later.
Exactly. We got it. See, we got it later.
See?
Chris, Mozilla is offering a VPN service.
Yeah, so I found this interesting because especially along with, first off, one of the first things I thought of with the Twitter hack that occurred was, man, some of these accounts had to be using 2FA. Mm-hmm. And not that I think that two-factor authentication is unbreakable. It should make things a lot harder. So mm-hmm. What I was concerned with was, did some hacker find a way to break 2FA and now we're all going to be scrambling? But that was not the case. And so I was like, okay, so at least that safety aspect was there. But now when you have, when you're looking to step your game up and protect your information as much as possible, many people are starting to use VPN services. So I like to see that, it's becoming more prominent, it's becoming more advertised because as that happens, more people become aware and more people can protect their information. So I was happy to see another player and a relatively big one jump into the kind of this low end or this end user VPN service. So Mozilla is offering their service for $5 a month. They're trying to differentiate themselves, saying that their VPN service will run faster. They said there's less lines of code in it than most other VPN services. You can so I thought that was kind of interesting because a couple weeks ago I told a story how my email got cracked into. How they did it, I have no idea. I'm guessing brute force. You know, it's not like I had some stupid password on there, but you know, so I made sure I went and, you know, stepped up my game, and any account that did not have 2FA on, I turned it on. But also, you know, you never know, right? Because half the battle is getting your email. So I started enabling VPNs more, more often to just make sure all my data, as much data as I can, is protected. So I was like, I was happy to see a new player in the market.
No, that's good. Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of VPNs already out there. But Mozilla is, I think, special. It's different because they have had a long history of, like, really caring about privacy and really caring about the community and making sure that it's best served.
And as a lot of other VPN companies are touting, they're not using, they're not maintaining any of the logs, which is important. So if you're looking at a VPN service, make sure that they're not keeping logs, because then it's useless, right? Because they can go back and look at the logs and see what servers you've been hitting. And they're also not using any third party vendors for data analytics or anything like that. So I was glad that they touted that, and it seems like they're continuing on what you just said, Patrice, that protecting end user data.
I hope they do what Tunnel Bear does as well, which is independent third party audits.
That would be great.
And that, you know, because Tunnel Bear does that, and then they release the audits publicly.
Yeah, a couple of companies do that now. I think that's a good trend in general, that a lot of, especially VPN companies, are doing third-party audits and releasing them now.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Mozilla does do that, because, like you said, Mozilla is quite known for making sure that, you know, they support the user, especially around privacy, because they're always sending loads of stuff out, even with their browser and all of that stuff. So, yeah.
Now, the one problem I see with this, and maybe I'm just missing seeing it. Oh, never mind. Answer my question. An iOS release is also forthcoming. Never mind. Okay.
Yeah, and they're different. Yeah. I think it also said they're going to release it to more countries. So it's what was it? The UK, Canada, US, Canada, UK, Singapore, Malaysia, and New Zealand for now.
So the question to us then, for folks that I'm wondering, is are we comfortable telling moms and dads to start using VPN, or are we probably a bit off from doing that? Because I don't think I want to enable two-factor authentication with my mom, just because she's alone and, you know, she has email, she has an iPhone, and so she's a target, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm hesitant there, and then I'm like, oh gosh, do I turn around and say you turn on this VPN service all the time too? I don't know. I'm kind of torn on that. So I was just interested to how you guys were thinking, if you guys have even considered any of those steps for your folks.
I have.
My mom's router has a VPN running straight off of it. She doesn't even know it's there.
Smart. Yeah, that's definitely smart.
Yeah, I have. And I mean, there are, like, I've like tested some apps that, like, especially on iOS, basically automatically connect when you connect to a unknown network, which is like something you can do, and I think all of them can do, and probably all of them do by now. And I think that is, I haven't done it yet, but I'm constantly thinking about it. Like, is it maybe something I should be doing?
Right.
It is my easy enough that they won't even notice.
Yeah. My mom doesn't even use the internet and on her phone anywhere but at her house, because she doesn't want to pay for data. And so her home Wi-Fi is already on VPN. So she's all covered as far as I'm concerned. So, and I did that for her a long time ago. As soon as routers services gave you could host a VPN or hold a VPN setting, I put them in. So that for me is the low friction solution for that.
Yeah. Trigger in the chat room is saying, get your mom on Tor. that is another challenge in itself.
I've thought about it, but I don't know how to actually implement something like that, because there's no router in the house. They're all on mobile devices. So yeah, and
don't they use Wi-Fi? They don't have Wi-Fi?
No, it's all mobile Wi-Fi via the network provider. So it'd have to be on their devices. Yeah, I've trained them to call me when something's suspicious, but like, call me doesn't sound right. But it'd have to be something that's really easy that they don't know is on there or it's happening. Yeah.
basically, if I was going to put something on their phone, I would have it set up to just automatically run all the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would set it up the same time I was setting up their email and everything else. They wouldn't mm-hmm. know what happened.
Yep.
Just put it on. If you get something that's unobtrusive that just runs in the background, mm-hmm. just leave it on their device. If they ask about it, go, that's security. That's all you need. Don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have a look when I go down this Christmas. Fingers crossed the flights are open.
Yeah. Alistair, I think you're still the one who hasn't posted any stories.
Of course, I have the ultimate solution there. Don't have any parents at all. okay, there is only one story of the week, which I've just pasted in.
Oh, my God. So there we go. Are you feeling okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's only one story.
So I love this story. Masturbation game listing was uploaded to the eShop by, quote, accident.
Accident.
Okay. Man, I wish I'd found this story.
Now, what I liked about the story was the first line of the story when he says, I'll read it out. Listing for the game, for a game about secret masturbation has been pulled from the Nintendo eShop. And I thought,
at least
brilliant.
They didn't say yank.
Yeah.
Was it yanked or tugged?
Well, it might be a yank software. Well, this was it. I thought it was my kind of story. You know, it was going to, there was going to be an industry shake-up, you know, and all that kind of stuff. No, unfortunately. But I just like the picture as well on that particular website. No, there is only one story of the week. Certainly, if you live in Britain and think about IT, I'll just paste that in. I could have pasted any old story, but it was the UK government, in fact, the Prime Minister in the UK, announcing that Huawei will be removed from all 5G equipment within the next 7 years. Mm-hmm. Been going on and on about this for a long time until someone who, I can't remember who it was now, said, oh, I think we're going to need at least 7 years. Mm-hmm. And the government said, yeah, you've got 7 years. Okay, we're waiting for someone to tell them what to do. And what I liked about the story was the progress of it. So they finally made the announcement. So it's, you know, the current government, you know, was kind of pro-Brexit. We want to take control. And they've decided what they'll do is let the American president tell them what to do from now on instead of Europe. So they're going to make sure there's no Huawei equipment at all in the 5G networks that no one has. Mm. So isn't that great? What I liked then was the different reactions from different parts of the country. So I'll just paste in another link. So this is the initial reaction from the IT industry saying, oh, it's going to cost you a fortune. Yeah. You know, it's all going to be impossible. There'll be delays. And you can almost hear the rubbing of hands, you know, hey, brilliant.
Money.
Maybe we'll get, maybe we'll get our jobs back after being laid off.
Yeah.
The funny thing is that, like, I mean, there is a ban on purchases for the kit, but only after like December 31st of this year. So, I mean, obviously, what's going to happen is everybody's going to just stock up on it and just roll it out this year, and then say, well, the next 7 years we're good.
Well, I hope so. My phone still works. It's still got a few years in it.
Yeah.
So there was. I've just pasted another link in from Silicon again. Slightly less humorous than the Register, and it's the, you know, industry. Oh, it's going to be terrible. This is going to be awful. Mm-hmm. Chuckling. You can hear the chuckling behind them. Mm-hmm. And so it went on. Then we get the inevitable business side. So I'll just paste the story in from Bloomberg, which is from China, calls UK ban on Huawei disappointing and wrong. I'd love to hear them say that. It was wrong. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of, I don't know, I'm never quite sure. We'll discuss this before, because Huawei is in an impossible situation. Mm-hmm. So either they're evil. Yeah, either they're evil, which I don't really believe. They're just a big corporate. They're no more evil than any other big corporation. Mm-hmm. But I just think that they're kind of really stuck, and there's not much they can do. Yeah. And there's nothing specific really that Huawei has done to merit this.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all to do with the relationship with the government they happen to be part of.
Yeah.
So they're stuck with it. So they're, you know, and then, but Huawei's not really quoted as responding to any of this. Mm. It's all countries and industries and business. Yeah. You know, Huawei's just, well, we'll do, you know, we'll do whatever we have to in the end. It maybe all blow over.
Yeah. I mean, the funny thing is, like, I mean, even if we find like an alternative manufacturer, which, I mean, there are some like Ericsson and so on, like how many of the parts for those devices are going to come from China?
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
kind oh, of but that's it. They're not banning Chinese stuff, just Huawei. Just that's the logic of it.
Exactly.
Mm. I mean, since you said it, I've just pasted in another link. So inevitably, a couple of days later, the direct competitors went, hang on, can we start bidding all over again? Which mm-hmm. isn't an unfair request, considering this has been on the cards for so long. So
the interesting if they own any patents that other companies are using, and they can just say, well, listen, those patents can't be used in these countries that banned us.
Mm-hmm. Well, which would explain why they're keeping quiet, because as you know, if you're with the kind of company that makes money out of suing people over people using your patented information, mm-hmm. you lie low for as many years as you mm-hmm. can to make the offense worse. And then when you pop up and say, you get billions instead of millions.
Either that or like you make patent deals with everybody and like you still make money and you don't have to even deal with like customers at all. You just make money for nothing.
Which would be another reason for them to keep quiet, because maybe they've started that process already. Mm-hmm. What I thought was funny is that if you go to the Vodafone website just to get a mobile phone, and it says, you know, get your 5G phone. And you know, we serve it with 5G. And you go, really? Is that a fact? And it goes, yeah. So you can get, what, £26 a month, 5G. Mm-hmm. And you go, what? That Where sounds rather good. I didn't know we had 5G. Mm-hmm. And then you look down and it says it'll be limited to 10 megabits.
Wow.
So that's 5G limited to 10 megabits. Brilliant. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks.
Cool. I find
it's five. Why don't they just call it 7G? You know, it's 7G, but it's on dial-up, and
that's an idea.
Yeah, I find this whole Huawei situation to be so shady. Mm-hmm. I don't trust anything that our government says about security, especially with the first story being how they want to crack and continue to impose. You know, backdoors into encryption, and then turn around and say they're concerned with another country's government having influence over.
It's like, we're really mad because they did it first. Damn it.
No, no, they didn't do it first. We did it first and we know how easy it is. So now we're concerned that they're going to do it too.
For sure.
Yeah, that's the story.
Yeah, it's okay for us, but not for you.
Like, no. That's our trick. Yeah, so I don't trust them at all. I hope at some point the truth about this situation comes out, because why Huawei? Why target them? Mm. You know, UK had refused to do this at first. And then what pressure did Mike Pompeo and 45, also known as Individual One, put on Boris? put on him to reverse this decision. So I hope at some point all of this comes to light, and you know, our journalists get back to doing journalism and some research, and actually get in and start digging into this stuff, because I'm somewhat interested to understand this whole situation better.
Me too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like someone I worked for had like worked with Huawei for years on network equipment in China sometimes, so I know a little bit about that world. And like, I mean, we never had any issues with that or any concerns, really. I mean, there was no influence that we could see from Chinese government. So that doesn't mean that it doesn't exist, but as I said, it's kind of the same thing all over the world. Like, I mean, we've had stories about like the US government even like sometimes running for years like the crypto company in Switzerland for like decades, and like introducing backdoors everywhere and all of that. So I mean, it's kind of, as I said, we know that like they've done it first, and now they can point fingers and say, oh, but if Huawei does it, then That's bad. Yeah, I think ultimately it's a business thing. I don't think I think the security thing is just like a front. I think it's a business thing, like having more or like pushing back against a Chinese company, maybe even a political thing, but pushing back against a Chinese company in the hopes of, having a company from another country benefit from it.
Like, I mean, but ideally, this is Britain. Everything's supposed to be homegrown in Britain. The whole point is they don't want Ericsson or someone like that coming in because they're all bally foreigners.
Yeah, actually Trigger in the chat room confirmed something I said. Nokia and Ericsson both use Chinese third-party manufacturing. So it's kind of a moot point.
So Huawei could potentially take all this equipment that has Huawei labels on it, peel those off, and put on Queen's Best labels or tea time label or something that
Royal Duchy oatcakes.
And then just sell them and the UK government would be okay because it's the same components manufactured in China, but at least now it has the right name on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. This podcast and all the other podcasts on the network are supported by TSO Host. Since we just talked about hardware and all of that, a really good hosting company, UK-based hosting company. I don't know where their hardware comes from, to be honest. Probably same thing that everything else comes from. But they have really good offerings. They offer domain names, they offer web hosting packages, they have like pre-built packages with WordPress and other CMS systems. If you need anything like that. And obviously they have servers. We actually have two of them. They're running smoothly, no issues. All the issues we ever encounter were homegrown because we messed something up. Never their issue. And they have been really great to us. They look after us. They check in like if we need anything every now and then. And all they want for that really generous package that we get from them and that good relationship we have them is your brand recognition. So even if you like have no needs at all, like you don't need a hosting company, you don't need domain names, anything, you don't want to buy, I don't know, jeffsbananabread.com, for example. Then yeah, you can still I would say, please go out to Twitter. Since we just talked about that. Go out to Twitter and tweet at TSO Host and just thank them for supporting BTN or at British Tech. So that they get like the feedback as well, that you enjoy that and that you're happy that they're supporting us. I would really, really ask you to do that because that helps them and that helps us. And it's like, doesn't cost you much. It's like a 10-second thing probably to write a tweet, just thanking them. If you are in the market for something, if you need a domain name, hosting package, all of what they offer, there's an offer code, BTN20, that also gives you 20% off everything they do. So I think also a pretty nice deal. And then we have iMend Max, which is a really good repair shop in the Birmingham area. But they service everybody in the UK. You can even ship stuff to them for relatively cheap. They, for the most part, repair Macs, but they will do the odd either like PC repair or other like even device repair. They have done some other stuff, not just Macs. I mean, like we talked about it on the show a couple of times, like the Chromebook that I think it was a Chromebook that got washed because there was wine on it, all of that.
Put it in the dishwasher, didn't
you? Something like that, or like in this, or washed it off in the sink with soap or something like that. We've talked about that. They will repair that. I mean, they will at least try to repair that. I don't know whether they could, but they would at least try to repair it. They do data recovery, for example, as well. And in this case, absolutely does not matter what device it is, as long as it has a hard drive that they can try to access. They will do their best, and they've done that in the past. And if you are in the market for a refurbished Mac or iPad or I think even iPhones, I think they have every now and then, they have a good refurbished store for that as well. We just talked about it on a Mac show. And the best thing is, one, they're really, really nice. I mean, Callum has been here on the show a couple of times. And the other really good thing is if you mention BTN, you get 5% off. So even Jeff could send his, whatever.
My iPad Mini 4, get a new battery in it.
Oh, yeah, for example. You could send that over from the US to the UK, have it repaired, and send it back. And they have, like, really worked miracles. Like, if you've if you followed the Mac show, we've talked about that. Like, the completely destroyed iPhones. This week, I think they got an iPhone 3GS in that they're going to repair. I know Callum has repaired his own MacBook because of a water damage and had to replace some chips and so on. So they don't just replace like entire parts. They will really go in and like replace chips and do soldering and all of that. So that's a different skill level than the Everest repair job, and they do that for you. So as I said, mention BTN, and if you want to reach out to them, either do it on Twitter at imendmax or imendmax.com. Time for the cool thing. How to start us off?
Okay, well, due to the heat, I've been looking at ice cube mold trays, and I found a Star Wars themed one, which has got Darth Vader and loads of different things on there. So if anybody's looking for themed ice cubes,
They look really cool.
They're never, and I think they're only about, what is it, like £17 or £18 on Amazon?
18 pounds, it says.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. I like the Death Star ones.
How much is that in stones?
I don't know, but it's about 123
stones.
It's about 500 degrees Fahrenheit.
I was gonna say I couldn't resist. Sorry.
Yeah, the Death Star one does look really cool.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this does look really really cool.
Oh yeah, I've just zoomed in.
Yeah, and you get 8 trays for that price. So it's not 18 pounds for one tray. It's 8 trays for 18 pounds.
Oh,
so that is actually pretty cool.
That is very cool.
And they're freezer and oven safe, so you could even bake with that.
You can bake with them. That's what attracted me to it. Wow. Cause you can bake
the chocolates.
Ice cube trays. Yeah,
that is.
Yeah, the chocolates of Han Solo in these. Yeah, that's good.
It's awesome.
I think the stormtroopers should come in sets of 1,000.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, that is a great gift for someone who's a total Star Wars fan.
Yes.
That'd be hilarious for a Star Wars themed wedding where you'd have all the stormtroopers in the glasses for everybody.
Yes.
Yeah, but every time you go to put a stormtrooper ice cube in a glass, you have to miss.
that's
awesome. That's awesome.
That was a good one. Okay, thank you. Chris, what is your cool thing?
So because of my story this week, I'm going to suggest a VPN. So I'm a fan of using NordVPN. That's what I use. I've been using it for the last year and a half. They have an incredible deal. Most of the services are probably upwards of $4 a month or so. You know, we mentioned Firefox was $5, and right now they've for the last year or so they're running like a 70% off where you can get it for $3.49 a month. Has all the expected services you would expect. No logs, no tracking, but one of the things that I like is that they're actually available in, I think it was 59 countries, and they have over 5,000 servers you can connect to across the world for service. Also, you can put it on up to 5 machines per account, which is more than enough for me. So if you've been on the fence about switching and starting to use VPNs for your internet connections, and they're all pretty much going to, you know, be a monthly service. So check out NordVPN. I've been very happy with them, and they work on iPhone. They work on Mac, they work on PC, Windows, Linux, Android. I mean, they pretty much run the gamut of devices as far as support and as well as browsers. So, NordVPN.
They're actually one of the big names. They're a great company. I've used them for a long time.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. I've used NordVPN, I've used ExpressVPN, like I'm like NordVPN so has been really, really good. I'm actually a big fan of them.
I've been very happy with them.
Yeah.
I've preferred them to ExpressVPN. Mm-hmm. I use both, and I find that I like Nord a little better.
Yeah, me too. Like, the apps are better, and the speed is slightly better, stuff like that.
I found that ExpressVPN was sending out too many updates, which meant there were too many mm-hmm. receptive holes in their software. That was something that concerned me with setting up the VPNs originally. I found Nord has been very solid, though.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Etle, what's your cool thing?
It is, and going along with our other conversation about from Alistair there, Lego is putting out a really, really cool Nintendo.
Damn it.
Oh. Was that your cool thing, Jeff?
Yes.
So let me guess. You had the Twitter story and the Lego, right?
Is that like bingo? So,
I think, yeah.
It's a Lego story. How could it not be, Jeff?
That's true. That is true.
Well,
yeah.
Okay. So sorry. I'm a massive Lego fan. My wedding was actually Lego Lord of the Rings themed. We had Lego Lord of the Rings scenes in the middle of every table. We had, it was quite hilarious. Anyways, I really, really like this because it looks like a video game system, but it's actually Lego. It actually, that little screen that goes on in the TV actually scrolls. So you twist a crank at the thing and it goes around like the video game's actually playing. So I think now that after I saw Alistair's earlier story, what I need to do is rejig the screen inside so that it's his game that's the game that's playing. And I think that'll probably become a whole new Lego sort of path of doing things where people are going to make different video game scenes to work inside this little TV to go along with it. I guarantee you that you'll probably see it. So for me, that is really exciting because I like to take original Lego sets and do things with them they really didn't intend at the beginning, but still like keep to the original theme of it. So yeah, I just think it's awesome. And it's only $300 when it comes to some of the Lego kits. That's actually pretty reasonable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Guideline dime a brick, and and in the United States it's going to be $229. Mm-hmm. And it's almost 2,700 pieces.
Mm-hmm.
So it's less than a dime a brick for this kit.
All right, which is a good deal.
Yeah,
that looks really cool.
It is very, very, yeah. I'm looking forward to it. It's definitely something I'm going to be. It's going to end up on the mantle behind my desk, I guarantee you.
Yeah, available on August 1st in the U.S.
One thing that you probably rarely get to see, if you've seen it at all, because of where my chair sits. Hold on, let me slide out of the way. So on the table back here, you can see the BB-8. And if I move my mic out of the way, you'll be able to see a few other kits.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can't see because I'm getting the Zoom screen of me.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, hold on. Yeah, hold on. I'm trying to switch the focus to you.
Yep. By the way, it is £210 in the UK.
Just double. That's expensive in the UK.
Well, it's probably about the same.
That's probably about $340 Canadian. Interesting. Anyways, can you show me the Lego thing? Sorry, I missed it.
Sure. So
so the BB-8 in the back, yeah.
See there's a BB-8, a Wall-E, the fishing house.
Ah, yes.
Came out just recently. Probably too small to see. The Tron light cycles are on the table. Oh, and the Women in Space Science kit is right
awesome.
There.
Oh, awesome. That's so cool. Nice.
Which you can't see because totally out of shot.
Yeah. And,
the Ghostbusters mansion, firehouse.
The firehouse, yeah.
The Simpsons house, the Saturn V rocket.
We have nice. We have all the Lego Lord of the Rings, all of the Hobbit ones, and I actually have a train set that's big enough that it's going to go all the way around the 1,000-square-foot room in my office.
Nice, pretty nice.
Have you seen the new engine?
Yes. Train engine? I know.
Are you going to get the motor to go with
yes,
it?
Yes, yes, yes.
That one is just beautiful looking.
That is
next
so gorgeous.
Next up on the Lego podcast, Jeff Gemmitz. I think that is your next podcast. Now we
yeah,
figured it out.
Okay.
You and me talk Lego. We'll
yeah,
do that.
Exactly. I think that's the story. Yeah.
I think it would be a hit.
Yeah, I think,
and I
so
think it
too.
Would be. Yeah.
I think
it
so
would be click. It would click.
I think so too.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jeff, what's your cool thing?
Well,
show the engine. Show the engine.
No,
the
engine. I went with something that I just ordered, so we'll do an unboxing when it shows up in a week or so.
Okay.
From Exploding Kittens, they have nice. A new card game called Poetry for Neanderthals. And so each card, it has you know, something that you have to describe, and then people guess what it is. Mm-hmm. But you can only use one syllable words. and so one of the other players stands beside you while you tell everyone what this thing is, and everyone has to guess it using only one syllable words. And if you use more than one syllable in a word, then they take this inflatable club and hit you with it.
Ooh, that's a game I have to buy for my family.
That is a good
They're
game.
They're gonna love that.
That is a holiday game for the whole family.
Oh yes,
yeah.
It's only $20, so.
Yes, and free shipping.
And free shipping
in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what shipping outside the United States would be.
They're not shipping outside the United States. It says here they're
then
working
it would be
on
very,
it.
Very, very expensive.
Yeah, they're working on it.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, that is too bad. But I mean, it's going to come.
Yeah, but and we'll do an unboxing when it shows up. Should be here in a week or so.
Mm. I have to send that to my family.
Oh.
They're going to enjoy that. That's a really cool thing.
Patrice, mm-hmm. since your family is still here,
yep.
If you don't already have Exploding Kittens, that game, have
we
them
don't.
Pick that up too, because Exploding Kittens is so much fun.
Yeah, we definitely should. That's a really cool thing. All right, Alistair, what's your cool thing? Or things?
I brought two, so I've got hardware and software.
It's a Nintendo game.
I'll start with the hardware. I did put the link in. I can't remember what it was. It's a company Bridge. That's Bridge with a Y, of course. Are starting to sell their iPad keyboards in the mm-hmm. UK. Now maybe other people have seen them for ages. Do you know, it's honestly not really my thing. I've got a mate who's a sci-fi author, and he swears by his iPad with, mm-hmm. and he's got this massive. Chunky clunky keyboard, because that's the kind of thing he likes. I mean, it's not so much of a keyboard as a whack-a-mole, you know what I mean? It's just huge and like fa-ding, fa-ding. I quite like the kind of Apple clicky little things, and I think I remember the original iPad 3 keyboard that Logitech did, which I liked mm-hmm. very much, but of course it was only useful for about 6 months, which was how long the iPad 3 lasted before they came up with a new version, which, of course, was a completely different shape and everything. So
is that the link? Is that the link I just put in there, Alistair?
No,
no, it's I'll just it might be.
I just dropped the link in for a Bridge iPad keyboards.
Yep, that would be it. The link I think I put in was for the press release, so you can download super high resolution versions and have a look at it. Uh-huh. So it is the same. Yeah, yeah. I'll say it's not quite my thing. You know, the price is good, comparable with Apple's strange keyboards, mm-hmm. The new versions. But if you'd like that kind of chunky, clunky, clicky, but not that chunky, I thought this was quite nice. It might interest some people. My software.
Does it feel sort of mechanical? Is it got sort of mechanical feel?
Yeah.
Well, as I say, if you ever remember that Logitech keyboard that they did for the old iPads before they became thin, it has that kind of, there's a substantial feel. I mean, people used to come up to me in the train and say, can I ask what keyboard you're using? Mm-hmm. And I'd say, oh, it's a Logitech, you know.
So it's more like a keyboard for like a laptop, like an Asus laptop or something like that. It's a good, solid, thick keyboard, clunky?
It's not that thick, but it does feel solid. And I think that was, I say, it appeals to certain people that I'm, you know, it still doesn't have an escape key, so I'm not going to buy it, am I? But there you go.
The Bridge keyboards? I've had the opportunity to use them, going back to the first model they came out with. They feel nice. If you like how the old style Mac keyboards feel,
right.
Like Mac laptop keyboards feel, it feels kind of like that. And the hinges that hold.
Yes, I also like the slot in really clip hinges, which was a good idea. So it doesn't just fall off every time the train wobbles.
And so you just close it up like a laptop and open it up like a laptop. The Bridge keyboards are really nice.
Okay. Good. Okay. Yeah. Oh, and my software.
Oh, okay.
So unless you want to keep talking about keyboards.
Nope.
is this one. Someone's come up with a retro office game. So it's a 16-bit version or 16-bit impression of a game where, you know, stuff happens in an office and you have to tell them what to do next. So it's not quite Larry the Lounge Lizard, but it's free and you can have a go on it. And it's a bit of a laugh. Why not?
And it's don't get caught at the office.
It's in full 8 colors. So brilliant.
16-bit cartridge, it says on here.
Yeah, you have to have that cartridgey feel.
Works for Sega
fun.
Mega Drive,
yeah.
In case the listeners want to find the links, you can head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and then navigate to the 17th of July 2020 and you will find all the chats and all the links we just talked about. My cool thing is something I have not ordered yet, but I'm about to order. I'm a huge fan of standing desks, and I honestly miss my standing desk that I unfortunately had to leave in the US because it wouldn't have worked here and it would have been too expensive to ship it here. So I'm looking for something for the office since we don't have standing desks. And the problem is, I mean, the ones that are available here in Europe are usually relatively expensive, and they're not as good. And the US, most of the US companies either don't ship to Europe or it's like $350 shipping, which, I mean, that's kind of like half the price of the desk, at least, not really worth it. So I found, the company. I actually remembered that there was another company that I looked at, and it's a US-based company called Autonomous. And I've had their chairs and I've heard a lot of good things about their desks. And I checked their website, and lo and behold, they actually ship to Austria. So I haven't ordered it yet because I still have to figure out I want to get a different desktop or a tabletop, because the one that they would ship with is too small, and the bigger ones they don't ship to Europe. But that's super easy. I mean, I can get a tabletop here, and all we need, like, it just screws to it. So there's no like really magic to that. It's literally just a tabletop and the frame is through to that. But the cool thing is they're relatively inexpensive. I was kind of a little bit surprised.
It's cheaper than IKEA though.
It is about the same price as IKEA. I mean, the prices that you see on the website, it says, it probably, we're going to say it in euro or pounds or whatever you are, you have to add taxes to that. So their website doesn't show, at least until you check out, doesn't show the taxes. But it's free shipping. So there's no shipping cost. It ships with FedEx for free. So the standing desk that, or the frame that I'm thinking about is about 400 euros in total, which is cheap, honestly, for what it is. And I can get like a tabletop for whatever, like 50 to 100 here. So it is, as I said, super sturdy frame. I know that because I know some people that have it. It's fully electric, 2 motors, like everything you want. And it's affordable. So if you're in the market for one of these, especially if you buy the frame, the other advantage is you can literally decide how big your desk should be. It doesn't have to be the sizes that they sell it with. Then, yeah, that That would be a really good company, autonomous.ai. And they have also really good chairs. So the chair I had in the US was from Autonomous. They are Ergo chair too, I think, which was a really, really good chair. Not cheap, not exactly cheap. Like, I want to say $250 or $300, I think I paid for it. But for an office chair that I used like multiple hours a day, that was absolutely worth it. So highly recommend it. Put a link also in the chat.
That looks awesome. I'm definitely going to look into it.
Yeah, it's one of the big three companies that, like, if you look for reviews, you will find like really good reviews for. That's it. Unfortunately, the other two didn't even ship to Europe, or didn't ship at all, or didn't ship for like a reasonable price.
So now it only ships to Europe, correct?
It's absolutely going to ship to Canada.
Oh,
like,
is it?
It's a US-based company, so they're definitely going to ship to Canada. I said, like, definitely a lot of countries in Europe. I think they ship to almost the entire world, like, just based on the list that I see here.
They ship to a lot of places.
They ship basically anywhere. Definitely, like, even US, Puerto Rico, and whatever. Like, it's basically everywhere. So, yeah, really good deal. And right now, like, from what I've seen, the shipping times are not too crazy. I think end of July, at least for here, for Europe, end of July, beginning to mid-August is not too crazy, given that probably everybody is ordering one. So I would say well worth it.
You might get it faster as well, because I ordered something in the US and it came within 5 days. Yeah. And I was expecting it within 3 weeks, but yeah, it's here within 5 days.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. All right. Thank you, everybody, for being here. Where can people find you?
On Twitter as Howie A, and I'm also in the BTN Slack room, and obviously here on the show.
Very nice. Thank you. Ashley, how about you? Where can people find all the awesome stuff you're doing?
You can always find Big Chris on the SMR podcast. Me and my boys record every week, talking junk and talking tech as well. So you might get a conversation about a Twitter hack, or you might get a conversation about remodeling your middle floor. Who knows? But we have a good time. And you can check me out on Twitter at Big Chris Ashley.
Very nice. Even though you're not so big anymore.
Well, right. Yes.
you're still big in our hearts. Jeff, how about you?
How about Twitter and Instagram? Jay Gamet on Show Is Here. Actually, I just wrapped up a week of macOS Kent or Ken Ray's In a Few Minutes podcast, which was loads of fun. And my podcast coming soon. It's going to be audio and video, so you can consume any way you'd like.
Very nice. Alistair, where can people find your awesome self?
You can't find me anywhere. I've taken all my stories off medium.com because it's shit and I didn't earn 50 cents. I didn't reach the 50.
Wow.
So what a pile of crap that place is. I'll find somewhere else to publish my stuff where I can earn some money. So, nope, far too busy for you. Can't find me anywhere. Sorry.
Well, I know that you're on Twitter at least. Might not check it currently, but you're on Twitter at Alistair Debs.
If you want to see something really old and outdated, yes.
Send him some Bitcoin.
Yeah. And last but by no means least, the man from Canada, Atlee, where can people find you?
You can reach me on Instagram and Twitter at Atlee Hunter and in the Slack room.
All right. And you can find me every week here on the Mac Show and on the Big Show. Everything I am doing is linked on thepatrice.com. And one of the podcasts I'm actually recording currently is Foodie Flashback. I have recorded 13 episodes. I definitely have to get Chris on. I know he is into food, so that will be super interesting. We'll have to set something up.
Let me know anytime.
I'll reach out to you probably right after the show. We'll set something up. And that is on foodieflashback.com. And you can find all the awesome shows of British Tech Network on BritishTechNetwork.com. The Big Show, the Mac Show, the Photo Show, the News Show every day, which is super important. Ewan mentioned it also on the Mac Show. We need your support a little bit more. We're running a little bit low on funds. We're paying Kyle for the awesome work he's doing every single weekday. 5 days a week, he is posting the news show every morning, UK time. And we can only do that because we have the awesome support of our listeners. And if you can spare, like, whatever, $5 a month or £5 a month or something like that, that would be really, really awesome, because that allows us to keep going and also pay for some other stuff that we're doing. But for the most part, it is actually the news show. And yeah, with that, thank you all for being here. Thank you all for listening, and talk to you next week.